Open up your Bible with me, if you would, to what it says here in Peter. I believe it's 2 Peter. Just going to look at one or two verses here. Yeah, it's 2 Peter chapter 1. I don't believe you'll find anything new, but I believe if you'll ask God to speak to you, he'll even speak to you through the messages you know so well. The prodigal son, others like that. If you'll ask God to speak to you, you'll even get something from the prodigal son. I've heard it preached so many different times, so many different ways. You can get something from it if you listen carefully. In this chapter, we see that Peter is talking to the people there that he's writing to, and he's basically telling them that it would be pretty sad from his standpoint, or very sorry on his side, if he didn't remind them of things that they already know. Look what it says here. Let's start with verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. There's a lot of things we know, and we've already gotten established in it. We know it very well. The question isn't how well do we know everything that's in here. The question is, are we doing what's in here? Because it's one thing to hear it, know it, and not do it. The Bible says you're deceiving yourself. You got to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And there's a lot of things we know it very well, but we got to be applying it, and that's what God's trying to deal with through the word of God. It's not just a matter of knowing it, it's a matter of doing it, putting it to action. In verse 13, he says the same thing. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, reminding you of things you already know. Remind means what? Bring back to your mind what you already have heard. Remind. Again, put it in your mind. And so Peter's trying to put these things back in their mind because he knows that they've known them, maybe forgotten them. Like one fellow said, he said, I've forgotten more than you know. There's a lot of things that we do we have learned in the past, but we can't remember them now. And that's sad, and that's just the nature of life sometimes, especially when you get older. But and you think I'm very young, I know that, but the gray hairs are just hiding in there. And they do show themselves in my memory. Let's put it that way. When you read verse 13, he says, I think it meet, I think it's proper and right. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm alive, he said, I need to put you in remembrance of these things. But look what's happening next. He says, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. I believe that's why he penned them down. He didn't want the words of God to be forgotten, so he penned them down. God inspired him to write this because we need to remember these things. We need to know them forever. He said, you know, while I'm here, he said, I think I need to tell you as long as I'm still in this body. And he said, but pretty soon I'm going to die. He said, and I don't want you to forget them then either. There's a lot of things you already know, but you need to get busy applying them because it's so easy to know. And, you know, knowledge does what? Puffeth up. Makes us think we know it all, think we're already arrived. But charity edifieth. When we start applying that knowledge, then it becomes wisdom that we've used, and we can use it for our life. Now, I'm just going to remind you of something tonight that you already know, but I want to go at it a little differently maybe than you have in the past. Look at the third chapter of 2 Peter and verse 9. It says here that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. You know, God is going to fulfill every promise, even though sometimes we don't think it's happening quickly, as quick as we thought, but God's going to do it in his time. Instead of being quick, like people expect him to be, God, the Bible says, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God isn't as quick to judge as we would think or expect, because he wants people to repent. He wants people to get saved. Now, you do believe that a person must repent and believe the gospel, right? But what helps them to come to that point of repentance? That's what I'd like to speak to you about tonight. What does God use to bring that person to that point of repentance? What did God use in your life? I mean, some people, the Bible says that some you save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I mean, some people, it takes fear for them to realize, you know, hey, you're on your way to hell. But either way, when you see the basis maybe was fear that made them scared to death that they thought they were going to end up in hell, but what got them out of that fire? What got them out of the fire is a cross, isn't it? I mean, what keeps us from going to hell is Jesus Christ. And what is the cross? The cross is a picture of something that we need to think about. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God uses his goodness to bring people to the point where they understand their need for repentance and they turn to God. Because when you look at the cross, that's when you see how good God was to you. How many of you deserve that he die for you? That's the truth. Not one of us. And we see that and we understand that's God's goodness. God is so good. God loves me even though I don't deserve it. God didn't punish me even though I deserve it. God didn't send me to hell like I deserve. Instead, he sent his son to go there instead of me and to take all that I deserved on himself and suffer and die in my place. That's good, the goodness of God. Now, God said he'll use his goodness to lead him to repentance. Said he here that he wants all to come to repentance. Let's look real quickly in this book of Psalms, Psalm 145. Is God good only to Christians? The Bible says that the rain comes down on the just and the unjust, and the sun also shines on your garden just as well as theirs, but not only on yours. Because God is good to all. But this verse here in Psalm 145, verse 9, says, the Lord is good to all. Now, if the Lord's good to all, that's great. But does everybody see God's goodness? Do they all understand God's goodness? When you read what David said in the beginning of the book of Psalms, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It took him seeing the goodness of God to appreciate it, and that's what kept him from giving up. Look out in this world right now. What do we have? We have heroin being used everywhere. We have people just giving up on life, committing suicide. It happens so often, it's unbelievable. They say that there's 5 calls every day in our region. It's not even a whole county. The EMTs have to go out and help the people that are overdosing with heroin. Why? Because everybody has no purpose for life. They're just living in a dream world, living in drugs, escaping real reality. And David said, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see. But he believed that's how he could see God's goodness. Now, you saw God's goodness because you believed the message. You believed the gospel. You and I who already believe, we're the ones God uses to go out and show and tell that message of God's goodness. You don't just see it by accident. I mean, in David's day, I mean, he spent time out there with those sheep, all out there on those fields and talking and praising to God. I mean, look at the Psalms. He spent time with God, and he knew who God was. He praised God for everything, and he praised God for God's creation. But today, how many people believe that God even created this earth? It's a lost, I don't want to say in the wrong way, it's a lost truth. It's been destroyed by the brainwashing of evolution. For 20 years, I've started at the end doubting. And God sent Henry Morris up to Purdue to be able to debate our professors, and I thank God for doing that because as he came there, he didn't even use the Bible. He said, I'm just going to use science against science today to show you that evolution is just a theory. And after he got finished showing all these things, the professors were all gone, and he said, tomorrow I'm going to be using the Bible at such and such Baptist church. I didn't get saved at such and such Baptist church, but at least I got pointed to the Word of God, and I started to see that there is a creator. And once I got finally saved, I quit Purdue and went at a Bible Institute because I knew that knowing the Creator was much more important than knowing whatever the world was going to teach me at Purdue. So I do thank the Lord for what he did. He put me through Bible Institute 5 years and then sent me straight to the mission field. I didn't even finish the 5th year, actually. In the middle of it, he said, go, and I went. But I do thank the Lord for what he did in the country of Ukraine, but how he opened my eyes using that message of that there is a creator helped me to see that I was looking the wrong way. I was believing the lie that the devil had, and God used in those testimonies of those fellows in my home church so I would eventually get saved. But God wants to use you and I to take the message of the fact that he is. The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God, right? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is. You don't have to just believe that he exists, but you have to believe that he also is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we need to tell them how good God is so they'll start seeking him. I mean, they might believe that he exists, but that's as far as it goes for most of them. It doesn't go any deeper because they really don't see their need. But when we tell them the gospel, what is the gospel? It is still the good news, isn't it? But we often tell it as good news or bad news. I think sometimes we put so much emphasis on the bad news that they don't even listen to the good news. I like the verse where it says, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Why? Because it gives both. Christ dying is the good news. For our sins is the bad news, which is the reason why he had to die. But it puts them both together so you can get the whole gospel across instead of, you know, dealing, preaching at them for hours that they're sinners, and then they don't even want to listen when you say what, how to get the problem solved, because they've already given up. They're already so depressed they don't even want to listen to you anymore. You're a Bible thumper that just thumped on them, and they really don't think you have any love or care or compassion. But Christ showed compassion, and God wants to show that compassion through us, because today, where is the Lord? He's up there, but he's right here. And he's inside of each and every one of us. So now, this mouth belongs to him. That's his mouth. And he wants us to do what? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 109 there real quickly. Psalm 109, and we'll finish up with these. Well, hopefully we'll finish up with these verses. But I'm sorry, I'm a Baptist. I don't wear a watch because my watch band broke the other day. That's a good thing, though. Because one preacher, they said, you know, what's it mean when he takes off his watch? It means absolutely nothing. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, who's he talking to here? The lost people, they should give thanks unto the Lord? No, he's talking to us, the saved that know it. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When was the last time you said so? Said what? Said that you were redeemed. Do your neighbors know you're redeemed? They know you're saved? I mean, that's a complex doctrine, but do they know that you got saved? Do they know how you got saved? Have you shared with them your testimony? He says you're supposed to tell them. Why? Because you're he whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I know God pulled me out of the hand of the devil. I know I'd have gone down with him. He had me pretty strong in a grasp, but God redeemed me. Amen. I'm thankful for his salvation. But that's not it. That's not the only thing. Verse 8 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Why? Verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul. And if you come seeking God, you'll finally be that longing soul. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Why does God fill you with goodness? So that you'll have something to overflow. You won't be just talking about what's going on out there with sports and everything and Bobby Knight and everybody else. I grew up in that age when he was popular. But, you know, that's all everybody talks about sometimes. You can use that. You can use that as a springboard, just like that woman at the well. But tell about your Savior. Tell about one that's greater. I had to preach my brother's funeral. And my brother was a very nice fellow as far as a lost guy. I mean, there were 1,000 people came to his funeral. 500 of them got the gospel. I'd say that most Christians don't get that many lost people to church. And God used that his death to be able to give those 500 people the gospel. Actually, 1,000 of them got a packet with the gospel of John, Book of Romans, and a chick tract in there, and a fellowship track league tract, because we wanted to give the gospel to him. We called it a remembrance packet, put a picture of him in there. And those lost people all took one of those home. I hope some of them read them. But, you know, God can use us to get the gospel out if we're willing to and we want to. The saddest thing, situations like that, lost people hear the gospel, but why don't they hear it from us? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. How many of you are hard of hearing? I know some of them have that problem. I do too sometimes. We don't want to hear always, do we? Verse 15 says the same thing. because God knew that we were hard of hearing. He knew we'd have to hear it again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to children of men. Look at verse 21. If you're really hard of hearing, look at verse 31. You got the message? God wants us to be praising him. Why? Because this world needs to know it. If we'd have gone back there to Psalm 145, it said there that God wants us to be out there telling. He says his saints should bless him and his saints should tell and declare all of his works. Why? To make known to the sons of men. That's our message. We're the messengers God uses to take us out here in this world and make known to the sons of men God's ability, God's goodness, God's salvation. Who else is going to tell if you don't? Do you expect the preacher to go? You call up the preacher every time you got somebody that wants to hear? Preacher, you're so-and-so. You can ask him to pray. But you know, God's got your mouth just as much as he's got his mouth. He's a sheep like you're a sheep. He's the pastor. Pastors don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep. We got to get busy doing the job because God wants to use each and every one of us. And ladies, I say this, because a lot of ladies think, well, my husband, don't let your husband be the only one. God wants to use you. There's lots of ladies out there. There's as many ladies out there lost as there are men. And God can use you, and he'll use you a lot more effectively than your husband in dealing with them. But you got to have the boldness and the desire. You can take Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. You can take that as your great commission, because it is a great commission. And it says there, go in all the world and teach the gospel. You don't have to go preach. You just teach it. Ladies, you're allowed to teach. God never said you shouldn't. You shouldn't be usurping authority over men, but you should be out there teaching the gospel, teaching others about what God did for you. And God will use your testimony to deal with them about salvation. The last thing is, the goodness of God is seen when we tell about God's goodness to us. That's our testimony, right? But also when we manifest the fruit of the Spirit. What's one of the fruits of the Spirit that we often overlook? We like all the things that we think relate to us, but in reality, the fruits of the Spirit aren't for us. The fruit of the Spirit is for them out there to taste and see that the Lord is good. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. We're the ones in this world reaching out wherever God put us so we can bear fruit there so that people can pull off that fruit and taste and see how good the Lord is. See what? How much the Lord's changed your life. What he's put in your life that wasn't there before. You couldn't produce fruit before. But now that you're grafted into the vine, into the Lord Jesus Christ, you can bring forth fruit. And you can bring forth much fruit if you let God prune you and concentrate on just bringing forth fruit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, long-suffering. And there's one we overlook, which is called goodness. And God said his goodness is what he's going to use to lead souls to repentance. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Whose goodness is it? Yours? You didn't have any, remember? There's none that doeth good. But now that you're saved, there's one in you that doeth good. He's the one that went about doing good everywhere he went. Do you remember that? Jesus' purpose of what he did? Everywhere he went about doing good. And that was God used that testimony to lead them to repentance. God's going to use you and I in this world to tell about his goodness, how good he's been to you, and to show his goodness by the works that he does through us. Are you letting God use you? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his, what? Workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. Are you doing the works that God wants you to use you to do? Why? Because through those works, he'll show his goodness using you. And that'll have an effect on their hearts if you don't steal the glory. If you tell them that it's the Lord put it on your heart. Amen. Don't take the thanks. When they say thank you, say praise the Lord. Thank him. He put it on my heart. I did this because I love him, and I wanted you to know he loves you. And that'll be an open door, a great opportunity to be able to give him the gospel. That's what God wants to use us as. That's why we're saved. If he was finished with us, we'd be in heaven already. Amen. Remember that. God's got a purpose for you. But the question is, are you going to fulfill that purpose? How many missionaries are here tonight? Every one of us should have a mission. If you don't, you're not a missionary because you haven't taken up your mission. Take up your cross daily and follow me, he said. Where are you following him to? On your mission. Wherever he wants to lead you and use you. Because you're whose? His. Not your own. You've been bought with that price. Remember that and glorify him who bought you. Amen, brother.